So we are reviving our Kana Fitness podcast, and this podcast is a sit down with Katie Cotton, owner of Noble Bear Salon and Ambler. Katie has done some personal training with us and has gone through a number of health issues lately, and she wanted to share some of the details of that with us. So you'll hear her talk about her journey, her current journey through finding an autoimmune disorder called Hashimoto's, and also dealing with her blood sugar levels and insulin resistance and some hormone therapy that she's going through. And she is more than willing to talk about this with folks. She's been very active on social media posting about it. And so this was a way that she could get her information out there kind of passively to people who are interested in at least learning the general story. And then she, you know, is more than welcome for people reaching out, especially in terms of doctor recommendations local to the Ambler / Mainline area. So hope this podcast is informative. And if you feel like you are someone who identifies with some of the things she's going through, certainly go find a specialist or at least talk to your primary and start figuring out the pieces to the puzzle. I will say that there is some language used. So if you're in the car with kids, you may want to save this for a time when they're not around. Or if you don't care, well, then go ahead and have a listen. Okay, enjoy the talk with Katie Cotton. There's some, I mean, I guess, where do we even start? Where do you want to start?
I guess with what I was just kind of saying.
Do you want to start like kind of almost backwards?
Yeah, a little bit, and then I'll, I guess, rewind a bit and try to keep it as clear and concise as possible when really the reality is it's not at all. So I would say, I've owned this place almost 5 years. We'll be open 5 years in September. I post about things all the time, hair-related, staff-related, me-related, life-related, kids-related, whatever. When I put up in, I guess it was probably November of this year, looking for a hormone specialist, does anybody out there have any recommendations? It was like this floodgate opened. I received so many people saying, let me know what you find out. I would say of the like 60 plus DMs I received, 55 of them were, let me know what you find out.
So it wasn't like, hey, here's a recommendation. No. It was more like, I also am curious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big time. And then there were a few incredible clients who were like, I saw this doctor, she's here. And then there was a few, like two or three clients that had seen a doctor that's over this way. But maybe three of the DMs were that, because A, there are really only two kind of in this, what I would say, area. And I include the main line in the area because the doctor I saw is over in, or am seeing and have continued to see, is in Wynwood. And then there's one over this way, I believe she's in Horsham. Also have had, people have seen her and she's fantastic. But anyway, so it became so clear to me, there is such a need, there is so little information, and so many women, am I allowed to curse?
Yeah.
Are so fucking lost. They're so fucking lost. And they are so fucking sick and so not okay. And there is so little help. There's so little. So I say so little, I guess I mean mainstream as far as like just general knowledge. Mm-hmm. But there is a ton of information, but you have to become a scavenger for it. Mm-hmm. You have to go find it, and then you have to discern who and how and where you're trusting, and that's a whole other animal. So I made an appointment, I don't know for any particular reason, I think because a few more people had said they had seen Dr. Lambert with some success in their own journeys is why I went there first. Mm-hmm. And made an appointment, took a couple months to go in. Mind you, I knew that this now is, you're entering the world of private care. You're entering like a whole other realm of care that at the end of the day, all I can say is like, I'm so lucky, and how sad it is to say it that way, but I'm so lucky that I had the ability to even afford to go see her. Blood work is always
covered. Right, because she's cash-based.
Private.
But labs can be
Can run through insurance. So those have, like, all my blood work's always run through insurance. But the visit with her is cash, or, you know, it's on you. Any hormone replacement therapy that I've done has been on me. That is not covered by insurance. And that is not accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I am aware of that. So I like very much all the time say, like, I am very grateful that I can. And so I feel like if nothing else, if I can help share and just like talk about this stuff, help point people in different directions, explain to people what I've kind of gone through, and maybe they can help start doing things even on their own that can have big impacts, even if they can't afford to go see this person or it's not in their life or ability, maybe I can at least help with something. So that was kind of how I ended up where I did. When I sat down with her the first time, and Chris, you know this about me, but I'm a reader, a researcher. If something's wrong, I want to understand the root. I don't just care about band-aids to things. Like, I want to understand how something works. So I had done, you know, what I would call my Instagram research. There's a few doctors and women in their postmenopausal lives that have incredible accounts that share a lot. And I kind of started there. So I had an idea of perhaps some things that were going wrong, but had no idea how to figure them out for sure. So that's when I sat down in her office, and when she said, "Why are you here today?" I literally looked at her in tears and I said, "I am so sick. Something is so wrong with me and I don't know how to untangle it." And she said, "Okay, let's start. Like, let's start untangling." And she asked me a lot of questions. She was very thorough. I could tell that her brain worked in the way of like, she was connecting dots. She was like putting puzzle pieces together. I said, I think I have an insulin resistance issue, but I don't know why. I don't know how to course correct it. I know something is wrong. I just don't know what. So we sat for 90 minutes because that's what you get when you're in private care. You get a lot of time.
That was your first visit with her.
First visit with her. And we just kept talking through things and going backwards and going backwards and trying to kind of untangle things a little bit. She sent me for blood work. I went, I think that week, probably the next day, if I know myself, I like was right there ready to go. And turns out what was going on, I had an autoimmune disorder, which that was not on my radar. Had never even heard of it. Didn't even have a, like, wasn't even on my radar. I thought this was all diet related, blood sugar related, like hormones related. I had no idea what autoimmune meant. So to get that diagnosis from her was like a gut punch because I was like, ah, shit.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. Like, now I've got to go like read about a bunch of other shit. Mm-hmm. And I've already read about a bunch of shit, but this isn't the right shit. So fine. But also it showed in my blood work that I was like 1 point from diabetic in regards to insulin resistance. 1 point. And I would have been in that like diabetic phase. Mm-hmm. I was pre-diabetic, but like by the skin of my teeth. And I did not for the life of me understand why. I ate clean, quote unquote. I exercise, quote unquote. I'm active. I have kids. I run a business. Blah, 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 blah. How is this possible? And so there began the work. Like once we had the blood work, once you have that science and you know what's happening in your body, I think that's the magic. Because then you go, okay, 1 foot in front of the other, I'm going to start to fix things. So that's what we did. The autoimmune part, I would say, is maybe like a separate animal, even like episode-wise or whatever, because while, yes, I believe it is entangled and one of those like which came first, chicken or the egg kind of things going on, I got to work the next day, literally, on correcting and fixing blood sugar, glucose spikes, understanding it, what does that mean, what does all of this mean, and how do I fix it. The thyroid stuff was, you know, I was started on a medication that became like a lot of dietary restrictions. So again, kind of a separate animal, still kind of intertwined. But what I knew would really help me feel better, because I felt so sick and so awful every day, was the hormone stuff and the blood sugar stuff. So now, all these months later, what are we in August? between my first visit, which was December, my follow-up, which was March, so 3 full months in between each visit, for blood work purposes, for medication purposes, for all of it, I had lowered my insulin resistance number by 30 points.
Wow.
So I share that with people because what I understand now is that blood sugar, glucose spikes, 100% feed the animal of hormone imbalance. You cannot fix your hormones and whatever imbalance is physically going on inside of you if you do not course correct blood sugar and insulin resistance. You cannot. Like, you're literally, you would be like your body bashing its head against itself if you cannot fix that other part. So it was where I focused all of my energy as far as like immediate changes. I have a very good friend, Liz, who when after my first visit, she said, oh, you know, there's this woman, the glucose goddess on Instagram. She's a Swedish biochemist who has this incredible account about her focus, which is managing blood sugar. Check it out. That changed my life because it wasn't like you can eat this and you can't eat that and you can do this and you can't do that. It was very simple. It was take the foods that are on your plate, eat them in said order. This will help manage the way in which your body processes blood sugar. So I went, okay, like I can do that. This stuff's like, these are easy hacks. So I started implementing those because it was, I had taken gluten out of my diet for the autoimmune part, but also for my own research about modern day gluten, especially in this country. So took it out completely, have not touched gluten since that day in December. Went to work on the glucose spikes using the hacks from this woman. Kind of accidentally, another woman whom I've used different herbs from, this woman organic, her name's Olivia. She is an herbalist and she had kind of accidentally in the same time period been dealing with her own body insulin resistance issues, which did not look like mine. She was not super overweight. She was not like struggling the way I thought I was. But in the meantime, she as an herbalist had been concocting and working on her own journey and created the glucose bitters. So in reading them, understanding why she had created it, how it had helped her own issues that she had had and been dealing with about a year prior to mine, I was like, well, why wouldn't I just add this into my repertoire? I understand the science behind it. It can't do anything but help. So the bitters kind of work in that same way that like semiglutides do, where it helps to create like a tighter, more balanced GLP-1 simulation in the body. Again, very sciencey, very boring stuff. We could get into that sometime. But anyway, support system. So the bitters before every meal that I ate, the doctor had put me on metformin because I was so close to diabetic. She needed to like get in there and use some modern day medicine to really help my body retrack itself. I'm not on it anymore, especially coming back in 3 months later and it going down so much. She felt like I could really support myself with diet and everything else going forward. And I kind of just rinse and repeat. Every day, I've modified the way in which I eat. I now lift heavier weights than I ever thought that I could before in my basement because that is where my life is. And kind of the combination of all of it, and then adding in hormone replacement therapy in March because my testosterone was in the toilet. And for women, testosterone is just as important as it is for men. Like, also something never talked about, when women's testosterone levels are in the toilet, brain fog, weight gain, low sex drive, zero energy, irritability, all the things that we all complain about every fucking day are a result of hormones being off. So my hormone testosterone was really in the tank. So at that point with like,
what it was?
It was like a two. Oh. Yeah, two. Literally, where like a healthy range would be between like 100 and 150 for like a woman of my age with the activity level in which I am, two. So So we started on a hormone replacement therapy to get my testosterone numbers up. So from March and then blood work in June, testosterone was up to like 21. And I could feel it. I knew. It took about 4 or 5 weeks. But I remember like being in the salon and it was about 3 o'clock. And I remember thinking, I feel really good. I don't feel like I like literally could go to sleep right now. I feel balanced. I feel ready to go pick the kids up. I feel good. And I remember it. I will never forget it. And going, oh shit, I think it's all working. I think it's like all working together now.
And what was that time frame?
That moment was, I guess, like 5 or 6 weeks from my appointment in March, where she started me on the hormone replacement therapy for testosterone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it took, I mean, every day I felt a lot better because of all the work with the blood sugar and like just getting that on track. My body was starting to like rev its engine and figure out all the moving parts finally. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely with the addition of fixing the testosterone, which if you're not at a specialist, if you're not dealing with somebody who understands hormones, they're not going to address that part. And that is a problem, because when those sex hormones in our bodies are off, nothing else can like truly fix itself, because they're all so intertwined.
But she didn't start you with that on that in the beginning.
It took like 3 months.
Yeah, and I think the thought process with that was we were doing a lot of other things.
Right.
And I think when you're as jacked up as I was inside, it's like you kind of have to take one piece at a time.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate, because I think if she had thrown hormone replacement therapy in after that first day in December, like I would have been so overwhelmed. I was already overwhelmed and like whatever. I think I really would have been like, but is this too much? Like, should I not be doing all of this? How can I manage all of this? Is my body going to understand? So I'm kind of grateful that we didn't.
Yeah, that's also a bit of a hammer when you might not have even needed it in the beginning.
Right.
So let's do some lifestyle changes.
Yeah. Lifestyle and like let's get this like huge component of how your body is producing insulin or not or whatever. Like let's get that in check, because it's also the most dangerous part.
Right.
You know, which I understand greatly now. Like that is so dangerous for somebody to be living the way that I was, relatively in a healthy way, to be pre-diabetic. Like what the.
What was your A1C?
Oh, I'd have to look. High.
I mean, you were over 5.
Yeah. High. Yeah. It was high.
So you weren't diabetic.
No.
So it was probably under 6. But
it was under 6. I think it was like a 4.8.
Okay, close to 5.
High. Yeah. High. Like everything was like right at that like cusp where thank God I ended up there like the day that I did.
Got it.
You know, kind of a thing. Because who the fuck knows what. I don't know. So, So
autoimmune-wise, Hashimoto's?
Hashimoto's, which I was like, what? My girlfriend Liz has it and was so kind to be like, here's a bunch of references. Mm-hmm. Because what I would say is the hormone specialist, she is not an expert in autoimmune disorders. Mm-hmm. And she's very open about that. But we're also lucky there is who is considered like, I would say the world's top expert on it, a woman, Isabella Wentz. From her own journey with it 20 years ago, has really done the most research and the most work on putting women in remission with Hashimoto's. So I bought her book the next day, started to read that. But again, it was so much that it wasn't that I put that on the back burner, but I kind of did, because I knew from the reading, like I could do all the dietary things, take all the things out that are inflammatory, that helps. But other than that, I kind of knew I had to put it on the back burner. I've reached a place now in August where I'm like, okay, now in what capacity is all of the Hashimoto's still playing a factor in all the other things? I'm kind of like starting to put that forward now in my brain. And so I'm kind of in the midst of that as we speak.
Got it.
Yeah.
Rewind to like what made you seek help in the first place? What were you feeling? What symptoms did you have? When did it start?
I always thought that it all started after I had Teddy, who is a little over 3 now. It was a complicated time though. She was born kind of right before COVID happened. So the world kind of went insane and I had to close my business after I brought an infant home from the NICU. It was a nightmare. So that whole thing is very blurry. I think probably coming out of a blur of everything, I thought this must have happened while I was pregnant with Teddy. Dr. Lambert suggested, and I think she is right, that this was probably brewing. And then I got pregnant with Teddy, and pregnancy can cause just like an explosion for the autoimmune. If it's brewing in there, it kind of causes it to explode. So it was probably like a slow leak, explosion, had my three-year-old, and then was just trying to like always get myself back healthy in what I thought that meant. When I walked into Dr. Lambert's office, I was having these, I would get right before my period, about 5 or 6 days before my period, I would start to get these red, raised, hot rashes. This huge histamine response on my entire right side of my body, like from my thigh, like up to my chest. And they were itchy and painful and so uncomfortable. I would get, I still like get it a tiny bit, like this eczema response in between my pinky and my ring finger. Still happens a little bit, which is again, a histamine response of some kind. I didn't know that at the time. But I would get like that red rash would happen on my right hand also, but it was like horrible. So along with like that literal, my body like from the inside out producing these rashes, I was so exhausted all the time. So irritable, so easily irritable, so tired, brain fog, you name it. And also couldn't understand why I was just getting heavier and heavier, especially around my midsection. And from everything I had read, that had something to do with insulin resistance. So I think that's how I knew there was some of that going on. Mm-hmm. But again, it's the chicken or the egg with it. Right. Like, so I don't know. And the doctor also doesn't really know. And I don't know that there's a way to know if all the insulin stuff created a larger autoimmune response or genetically speaking, if I was always predestined for this autoimmune disorder and then just kind of all the cards went into place and caused it. We don't really know. Right. And there's no way to know, I don't think. So that's kind of, but I felt awful. Like I just was like sluggish and not okay. I don't know that I ever had any depression or anxiety. That's not ever how mine manifested. But it was definitely like in these bodily responses that were just like my body screaming, like, hello, help us, find help, like immediately. And that was when I finally just put that thing on Instagram and asked the community of the salon, like, I need a hormone specialist, I think. Does anyone have recommendations?
Did you see a primary and then bring it up with them and then it just nothing ever came of it? Or you just thought you'd need a specialist immediately?
No, I did. You know, I would not say I'm the best about going to the primary care. That's not my strong suit. That is self-admitted. I know that. I did mention it to him when I was in for a checkup about a year ago. And he was like, I don't know, all your blood work looks normal. So this is why I scream this on Instagram every time I put up a post. Most doctors will say, your thyroid looks normal, your hormones look fine, everything looks normal. Normal isn't even a thing. It's just not. Because the basic blood work that a primary care physician has the general knowledge in which to do will not produce the serious, in-depth blood work that is needed. So sure, the panels that they look at might look normal.
Yeah, the two surface
level. But
it's
because it's like four pieces of information.
Yeah. Do you remember the labs that the specialist ordered?
Oh yeah, I have them written down because it's a long list. But I wrote them down for a friend who's going to the doctor soon. But yeah, it's like the T3, T4, T3 free, insulin resistance, your A1C, cortisol, morning cortisol was a really important one too because cortisol has such a connection to hormones.
It TSH, should be high in the morning, but then it should peter off as the day goes on.
Not super high though for women. Shouldn't be real high in the morning for women if it is.
Right, higher.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, because if it's high for women in the morning, it means like your body's actually in adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. And then if you're high in the morning, it means like you're not actually getting restful sleep,
yeah,
whatever. So yeah, so the panel that she ran, I remember going to LabCorp and the girl was like, girl, what? She is testing for a lot of things. It's like 9 vials of blood. Are you mm-hmm. going to be okay? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know. Take it all. Take all my blood.
This is why I'm here. I need to know.
I was like, take it all. I'll call someone to pick me up if I need to. But she was like, this is like the most blood work I've run in a long time for someone. And I was like, I kind of, you know, I like started to explain to her why.
Yeah.
I was like, you should call your hormone specialist if you have one. She was like, what? I was like, anything you want to know. So,
okay.
It's extensive.
Yeah. And so insulin resistance is where, you know, when you eat something, carbs, usually your blood sugar will spike. That's normal. Mm-hmm. And then insulin is a hormone that will take that sugar in the blood and then go store it. And so insulin resistance is this idea of like not having the insulin needed to go ahead and go do its thing.
Right.
And so like type 1 diabetics are, you know, people where their pancreas isn't doing the thing it should do and they're kind of born with it, right? Type 2 diabetics is similar, but it's largely due to lifestyle. So you were thinking, okay, this is a blood sugar thing. This is like an insulin resistance thing. Mm-hmm. Before, or did the specialist have you wear like a CGM or continuous glucose monitor or something to test your blood sugar?
So she wanted to, but my insurance company wouldn't cover it.
Ah.
And we went back and forth because she was like, I do not want you paying out of pocket for this. This is absolutely ridiculous. Like, I've got to get this covered by your insurance. By then, I think like 2 months had passed.
Yeah.
And I was like, I understand from what I'm reading and researching enough to kind of, and again, with the help of the glucose goddess, because literally her feed is like photos of years worth of data from these monitors and showing this is what happens if you do this, this is how you can modify it to do this. Mm-hmm. I think because at that point I was like, I kind of know what to do.
Got it.
I got this. Okay. I still would like to wear one. Like, I think I'd like to wear one like every day, but my insurance company won't cover it. It's so annoying. So that kind of went on the back burner, but it's still something I would like love to do because data.
Yep.
Nothing more fun than data. You've been wearing one, haven't you?
Or
have
I
you?
Was.
You're
yeah.
playing around with
yeah.
one?
Yeah, I had some blood work done, and that's why I was asking about the lab, yeah. the labs. And it didn't, I would say it didn't reveal anything that I was that surprised about.
Okay.
But it confirmed what I already thought for certain carb sources versus others that affected me. Because I have pretty good self-awareness of like how I feel. So for instance, like white rice was a huge blood spike. And I could feel that after having mm-hmm. like white rice, that brain fog and that like sluggishness. So it confirmed that. It was huge. It was like almost 300. So it was like way more than any other. Range wise, like you should aim to be under 100 at like rest at normal, right? Mm-hmm. And then like even when you eat something, maybe 130 to 150 mm-hmm. Spike wise.
Ideally, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously it depends person to person, but.
So I wonder, just out of curiosity, if I had you do the glucose bitters and then you ate, because you would you eat your rice first?
It's usually with something else.
Okay.
You know, so
I would wonder, just because you have that data already, mm-hmm. if you took the glucose bitters or even just apple cider vinegar, if you put mm-hmm. a shot of apple cider vinegar in water, and then you ate whatever greens were a part of said meal, then you ate your protein of said meal, and then you ate the rice at the end, mm-hmm. what your spike would look like.
Yeah.
I bet you it would be half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is so interesting.
Well, yeah, and eating, right, and you from the glucose goddess and others, like having a meal with protein and fat will certainly blunt
offset
the sugar spike. Mm-hmm. Doing something active after mm-hmm. eating meal, like going for a walk, also yep. has been shown to help.
Or even just calf raises. If you're sitting at a table and you like can't
just
do that.
Just getting the blood circulating.
Yeah, I'm such a creep now. Under a table, anywhere I'm sitting, after I eat, no matter what I'm eating, I'm literally like flexing my calf muscles under the table. And thank God whoever listens to this will now know that, but it has the exact same effect on blood sugar that taking a walk does. It's the muscles.
Love it.
Yeah. Right? So like, be a creep, start doing that under the table. Yeah. You know, why not? Because all of this has been like, why not? I'll try that. Why not?
Yep.
Can't hurt. Why not? So I think with all of it, all the things that I've tried and all the things I've incorporated, I've really just kept that mindset of why not.
Yeah.
People say to me all the time, well, I could, like, they'll ask me about it. And their first response sometimes to me saying, like, I immediately cut out gluten of all kinds. And they go, well, I can't do that. And I go, well, then you're not as sick as I was.
Right.
Maybe. Right. Like,
no, yeah, there's a tipping point.
Right.
Like when we say,
everyone has it.
Yeah. When people don't like change generally.
Right.
Like when people join the gym, we have this internal saying that, you know, they're at the point where the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of the change. And that's, you just hit a point where the pain of staying the same with the brain fog and the feeling lethargic and the rashes.
Like, I literally had these rashes. For me, I don't know. Maybe I would not have ended up in her office had I not had these rashes that would happen before my period.
Yeah.
That were so awful and like awful and embarrassing and like felt terrible and all of those things. I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have if that component wasn't a part of it.
Yeah.
So I always say to somebody when they're like, well, I couldn't do that. And I go, okay, well, then you can't. If that's how you feel about it, that's great.
Yep.
At the point I was, I literally and figuratively would have done anything because I was so not okay.
Yeah.
And like I said, for everyone, that's different.
Yeah.
And it looks different and it feels different and it sounds different. But I wasn't a good mom. I wasn't able to function for my team the way I wanted to be, for my team at home the way that I wanted to be. So all of that led me to my tipping point.
Yeah.
You know?
What other changes eating wise did you make? You took out gluten, that was a big one.
Yep. And I would say like
eating order.
I mean, gluten again, you know, I'm 5 feet tall for all of you who don't know me or listening. I am not a tall person. So weight has never had very far to go on my body is how I would say it. So like, I guess for me, carbs were always like the devil because I didn't truly understand the difference between different carbs. But I kind of always avoided them. So again, for me to take bread, pasta, those kinds of things out of my diet wasn't a huge shift because I also just knew enough about health that like that those were never going to be the way in which my body would be the healthiest. So when I say that, I always say to people, look, like my lifestyle was different perhaps than yours.
Right.
And so maybe that was an easier shift for me. So yes, took out gluten immediately. Literally the next day after like diving into the glucose goddess information, started eating the things I was eating differently. To fast forward a little bit into more of like the hormone focused stuff, I started to really do a deeper dive into women who are in midlife and their health. And these women whom have really conquered what are very stereotypically the way in which women's bodies look, become, the way the brains work after children and into their menopausal years. And there were some women doing it differently. There were some women who were so healthy and real badasses and like overcoming this stuff. And I started to really deep dive there. I prioritize protein now. I always did, but now it's like I'm kind of a psychopath about it. I got a smoothie today as part of my lunch, but there are 2 scoops of good protein in it for 40 grams of protein. That's a lot. But
how many grams per day are you trying to get in?
Like 120.
Yep.
Yeah, I make sure that I get at least 30 to 40 in each meal.
Mm-hmm.
It also satiates you, right? Mm-hmm. So if the more protein you have, like the less sugar you crave, the less dips you have, it helps all of those things. So the heavy lifting, prioritizing protein, modifying the way in which I'm eating foods that I'm eating, a lot of water, but not just water. It's electrolytes. It's understanding the minerals that need to be replenished in your body. Because all of that is so in depth and that gets even a little confusing for me. But what I knew was like, there are also some minerals that I was deficient in. Magnesium is a lifesaver for so many things and for me has made a huge difference. So it hasn't been, it sounds like it has been but the actual changes themselves have not been like a mountain. They've been incremental, and the little shifts and the little tweaks have made a huge change. But I would say between today and when I saw Dr. Lambert in December, like, I'm a different person. Like, I feel so much better in my skin. I feel so much better in my brain. I feel just better. Fixing the testosterone in my body, like all the spinning I would do and all the things, like I always had muscular, like physique growing up, whenever I played sports. And I just could tell, like, my muscles were like atrophying. Like, they were not defined anymore. And I knew that, like, the testosterone fixing would help with that. And it has. Like, things are slowly shifting again. And, like, the working out that I'm doing is doing things for my body finally. Mm-hmm. So, I'm a different person. The rashes are gone. Mm. I have zero histamine response now going into my period. My period has also corrected itself. It was really kind of all over the place. 28 days to the dot. And that's like, hasn't been that way since way before I had Teddy. So a different person. It's like night and day. And I think that's why I have vulnerably started talking about it on Instagram. It feels kind of inappropriate when I bring it up on my business page. I get that. However, it's where all the women are. I have a personal page. I have like 100 people.
Yeah, but your audience is on your business page.
Right. So it feels like a little like, oh, should I be doing this? And then I'm like, you know, fuck it. This is my community. These are the people. They follow the salon for a reason. It's always been because, like, I try to be really authentic about it, about this place, about where it came from, how it started. And they're for me. Like, I'm a part of it.
Yeah, well, and you've been doing that since the start. This isn't like that out of the norm. Even like, it is intimate. It is like, you know, very personal. But it's not like you were very sterile business social posting, right?
No.
Like,
no.
You would throw in your own flavor. It was you. Right. Everyone knows it's you behind Instagram.
There you go. Yeah. So I think I really kind of like went back and forth, and then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I got these recommendations from these women. How could I continue mm-hmm. this conversation?
And they all wanted to know.
Right. So I've teetered a bit, and I still kind of grapple sometimes where I'm like, I don't know if it's appropriate for me to keep talking about this, because this will then become Katie's hormone journey page. Mm. And I have a whole team of incredible women that work here, and like, this is their business too. So it's like a teetering. Sure. But what I will say is, if it allows there to be conversation in here that opens up because of it, which it has, that's a win.
Right.
If there's more conversation going on in the DMs from women, just like, what was that doctor's name again? I forgot. Then it's a win.
Mm-hmm.
I very much don't ever want to, especially on Instagram, be like, do what I'm doing. You're going to blah, 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 because it's so personal.
Right.
What has worked for me and what's been necessary for me won't be necessary for everybody else. So I like a teeter with that. But I also think to myself, so much of the information I've gotten has been from other women on Instagram that has helped lead me to PubMed articles and to lead me to reading books about it. So, it's that reminder that like social media is for this.
Mm-hmm.
It is to share information and help other people. Like, that's literally what it's for. But I can't ever stress enough the importance of getting your hormones checked. And that's men and women. It's not just women. Like,
does this doctor specialize in women hormones?
She does.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does. But there are hormone replacement therapy centers in this area for men that are accessible and a bit less like in your face. But I really, it's going to sound so extreme, but like, I can't imagine a marriage that wouldn't, or a relationship that wouldn't benefit from both partners knowing where their hormone levels are. Because if you don't know anything about it, and there's other things going on, like high stress, all the things that we all grapple with every day, if that part is unknowingly unchecked, it's not helping anything. And I just think, like, I know who I am as like a partner and a mom is a better person than I was in December because of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just am. Because if you're not okay inside, you literally can't be okay to everything outside. You just can't. So I know that's like bold and that's a lot to say, but I really that is a hill that, like, at this point in my journey, I can honestly say I believe 100% that, like, everybody needs to know what is going on in their bodies hormone-wise and probably insulin and blood sugar-wise.
Was there any talk about caffeine, sleep, stress? I mean, I know the answer to that, but because it's closely tied to blood sugar hormones. But and so I guess maybe the question is, like, did you change anything related to those topics? Were there any general recommendations?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, I no longer feel like I need to drink coffee at 3 p.m. every day. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. When you reach that, you go, oh shit, this is great. Mm-hmm. I am still okay from just naturally, like, my body performing. Yes, so again, intertwined between both the thyroid stuff, autoimmune stuff, and then also the blood sugar hormone stuff. Sleep is so big. My sleep was awful. That was another symptom I forgot about. My sleep was horrible as I went into that appointment in December. I would wake up every day at 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep. I never felt rested when I woke up, et cetera, et cetera. So sleep became a really big priority for me. I could get into, like, there's even some liver detoxing that, like, I've done to help my body, like, process things, because if you're congested down there, you're not going to sleep well. It's all, again, intertwined. But yes, sleep became kind of like this focus for me. I know if I can get my blood sugar and my insulin in a better place, it will help my sleeping. And it did. Pretty quickly, honestly. I would say, like, that, like, happened fast, where all of a sudden, I remember waking up one morning, opening my eyes, and it was daylight, and I was like, oh my God, I slept through the night. Like a baby. Like, literally, I was like, oh my God, I slept through the night. Like, I was sleep training myself or something. That's like how I felt. Yeah. Every time one of my children has ever slept through the night, I, like, felt that joy, but for myself, because I was like, oh my God, I can't even fathom the last time I got an uninterrupted night's sleep. With insulin resistance, a big symptom is frequent urination at night.
Yep.
And I was peeing like 3 or 4 times a night. So of course you're going to sleep better if now your body doesn't have to pee all night. So again, sleep became a big one. Making sure that, like, I'm looking at sunlight in the morning, not my phone first thing. That circadian rhythm.
Yeah.
Yep. Getting minerals in the morning, but yeah, limiting caffeine. That one wasn't a huge one for me, I think, because, like, I don't know. I never drank, like, a ton of coffee. I would have, like, a cup every morning, which I still do, but now it's like a quarter of a cup of hot water. I put, like, I don't know, a quarter of a cup of the coffee that my husband leaves in the morning for taste more than anything, because I love the way it tastes. And then, you know, raw milk, and some sea salt. And, like, that's how I drink my coffee. But that's more of a ritual, I think, than anything. It's one I've been trying to, like, shift just to do it, because I'm like, why do I still have this very serious ritual? It's just a ritual, I think, for me. Mm-hmm. So, yes, limiting of caffeine. But as my blood sugar corrected itself, I no longer felt like, oh, my God, I need help in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. So that knocked any other caffeine out, because I just didn't even want for it anymore. And now in the middle of the day, if I feel that way, I grab, like, beef jerky, I grab an egg, and that really does the trick, because I'm now aware that that feeling is more like you need more calories or you need more protein, go find it. If I can get, like, a fat in with that, I'll do that. I can't always do that here. So definitely limited caffeine, got rid of gluten, prioritized sleep. Trying to think what else. Minerals, fixing my mineral.
Is that through, like, a multivitamin, specific supplements?
So many supplements there have been. And those have, like, kind of ebbed and flowed, depending on the needs. There was a lot of vitamin supplementation in the beginning, which, again, is expensive. And really, that part I still grapple with, because it's very expensive. So there are months where I'm like, I'm not going to do this thing for now. I'm going to whatever, like figure it out as far as like what I'm eating, mm-hmm. That kind of, even my own supplementation of supplements, because they're right. extremely expensive. But a non-negotiable for me is like a very high quality electrolyte mix, which there's brands that are complete shit because they're all sugar and they're crap. Mm-hmm. And then there's great brands you and I have talked about before, making sure that like I'm getting water with that in it at the beginning of my day, even before the coffee. Trying to think, but yeah, a lot of supplements, and that was more thyroid related. Mm-hmm. There's with Hashimoto's, there are some, deficiencies that you literally have to be able to get back into your body, to help your body start to recover a bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Any focus on like, so you mentioned getting sunlight first thing in the day, mm-hmm. but were you, aiming to like get out in the sun? More during, you know, nicer weather,
mm-hmm.
but yeah. for vitamin D wise.
Just vitamin D. Yeah. yeah. I mean, you can tell by my skin, I don't hate vitamin D. Mm-hmm. I love being in the sun. Obviously there's pluses, minuses to everything. It mm-hmm. is what it is. For me, especially in warmer months, like I'm going to try to get my body as much vitamin D as I can, because especially here in Pennsylvania, like we have a lot of months where it's extremely cloudy. It's extremely dark, and I do really think that it affects a lot of things. So vitamin D, I've never been afraid of. I'll probably test and see where it is in the winter and like supplement if I feel like my body needs it. B12, vitamin C, that's been a big one, and then NAC, NAC is like so good for a million things, but those are ones that I still take every day. NAC I take every day, thionine I take every day. Glutamine, those kinds of.
And these are all at the recommendation of
yes.
the doc.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what's the cadence now? Are you still seeing her every 3 months and just yep. reevaluating and just yep. kind of going from there? Or did she map out, hey, in 1 year you'll be able to get off these, or especially for like the hormone replacement, mm-hmm. is there like a timeline on that?
Not right now. Well, I have a feeling, so my next appointment with her will be, I guess, end of September will be the 3 month mark. I'll do blood work 21 days after I start my period, so that also you're getting your blood work very consistently at the same time as a female, mm-hmm. is really important. So at that point, I think we'll see where my testosterone is. My testosterone, even though it had gotten better, it still had a ways to go. So it's like me being me, I'm so curious. I'm like, man, at 20, I felt great. Like, how will I feel if I can yeah. get my testosterone back like up to 100, 120, 130? So I think I have a ways to go. So as far as the hormone replacement therapy, and that's, you know, also you're testing everything again. It's to make sure that my progesterone and my estrogen, which have been fine, are they still? Does anything need to be tweaked? And over the next few years, you know, as I go into my 40s, those things will shift again.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the work that has been done this year will help with any shifts that are coming.
Right.
And even just that awareness will help so much, like with whatever shifts are coming. So right now there is no bigger picture, long-term plan, because there is so much work still to be done. I think with the thyroid autoimmune disorder, my next step is seeing an endocrinologist. Mm-hmm. I need a deeper dive there.
Yep.
The hormone doctor, that is not her area of deep dive, understandably so. Mm-hmm. Everyone can't be a specialist in everything.
Right.
So my next step will be the endocrinologist for that, and kind of just still keep doing the work with her as far as like the blood work, monitoring it very closely, tweaking things as needed. But the work with the blood sugar will never stop.
Right.
Like, I believe that my body, for whatever its reasons, will always have to function this way. That's okay with me. Every day I just kind of wash, rinse, repeat. I don't have like these like, oh, I'm missing out on this, I'm missing out on that. Like, I don't feel that way, because it's just like, I literally am like, I feel so much better that anything I was doing a year ago, I wouldn't want to yeah. be doing now if it would mess with any way that I'm feeling right now.
Right. So. People respond differently to different things.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it.
Correct.
It's just not worth it, right?
Correct. So, yeah. So that's, you know, there's no big game plan right now other than every day repeat what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I kind of feel really excited now about this journey of like with the heavy lifting, with the muscle mass and building and kind of restructuring my entire body. Like, that's so exciting and so cool. Mm-hmm. And just to continue that work with the blood sugar and the regulating, I think can even get better, and it can, my body can function even better and continue to lose body fat and do the things it's meant to be doing more naturally, like on its own. But I can't fathom going back to anything mm-hmm. that I like was doing or wasn't doing. It's kind of like, I think of it as I'm just adding every day, like yeah. adding knowledge, listening to podcasts, listening to experts, tweaking things, trying, seeing how I feel, like, how did I respond to that? How do I feel when I do this or that? And then going from there.
You've been on our in-body machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so.
You should come back and at some point and redo that to see muscle mass, body fat mass, that whole breakdown.
Yeah.
Because that would be absolutely pretty interesting, especially muscle mass wise.
Okay. I would love that.
Testosterone injections, I'm assuming?
I'm doing a cream.
Are you doing topical?
Okay. I'm doing topical. That's one of my questions for her when we speak next is like, let's talk about the pros and cons of doing injections instead. Right, Maybe we move into that.
Do you know the dose? Do you know the...
I think I'm using like 0.5 milligrams every day. Got it. Nobody's anything is ever the same, you know, because of whatever's going on in my body is different than someone else's. But I think we'll probably go up in dosage is what I'm thinking. At this point, I feel like if I was making remarkable strides with the testosterone, mm-hmm. I think I'd feel it.
Yeah.
So I'm fine, but I think things could be progressing better at this point. So, you know, my next conversation with her will kind of be in that realm. Should I be tweaking this? Should we be going up in dosage? Could we be doing injections? Is that feasible to get to Wynwood? Or do I need to find somewhere more locally that could do that for me? That's kind of my next chapter.
Did she talk about any side effects, any possible downsides?
Mm-hmm.
All those disclaimers, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, because mine was like in the toilet, we were inching our way up. So she was kind of like, I don't anticipate that you're going to have any big reactions because you have so much work to do.
Yeah.
But she was like, you know, look out for, I remember her saying over the phone, if you find that you're more irritable. And I went, more irritable than what?
Mm.
Because like, I'm like
already pretty there.
Yeah, I was like, I have a lot on my plate every day. So I don't know if like that's going to be a real good gauge for me. Cause like, I don't know, like every day, who knows what's coming? Like, and she was started laughing. She was like, that's fair. She was like, rage. If you rage, start to feel rage. Yes, and I was okay, rage is not a feeling I get ever. So if I feel ragey, that will be
rage.
But like the normal ones, you know, if you start growing hair on your face or, you know, but I think she is so careful and such an expert in this. She never overdid anything. If anything, it's kind of like a start slow, see how your body reacts. Let's talk about it in like a month, 2 months and go from there.
Got it.
Yeah. So no other than ragey, which thankfully I never developed.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to kind of be the biggest one. And I think it's like a big cue. We've had clients talk about this, that like they felt all the time, like ragey. And it was because like they had other hormones that were deficient
mm-hmm.
and testosterone was too dominant in their mm-hmm. bottom bodies. And they had, you know, some work done to balance the other ones. And then that went away.
Yeah.
And I just think to myself, like as a mom, like how horrific it would feel to feel rage all the time. And you have the children and you know it and you can like feel it that like it's not right. Like something's not right. You shouldn't be this angry about XYZ. Like go get your hormones checked. I say it so many times a week. People are probably going to want to kill me at some point.
Have people, so you've been sharing your story. Have people come back to you and be like, yeah, because you told everyone to do this, mm-hmm. I did it. And mm-hmm. thank you. And you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, I've had a few clients either reach out via DM or when they're here in the salon and say, like, thank you. I've seen one of the two doctors that, like, I recommend to people because they're, again, the only ones that I know of that mm-hmm. I know people have gone to and are happy
Lambert with. In Wynwood, you said?
Yep. And then there's Thea Barton, and she's, I think, Horsham. One of the women that works for me has seen her and has had great success with her, and other clients have seen her and have had great success with her.
Mm-hmm.
But, so... There have been like some success stories, and I just think like when I posted something, it was like a week ago, and it was just kind of an update, or a couple weeks ago, 45 DMs. And then, like,
yeah, you and I were messaging, and you said, like, within, what, like, an hour?
Yeah.
Like, dozens of DMs came in.
And I could preach about, I don't know, I'm pretty sure anything else, and nobody would say a word. So obviously, like, this one is one where women are suffering. I think there are men that are suffering, too. That's just not our audience with the salon's Instagram.
Right.
For obvious reasons. But I do think there's a lot of men that are suffering from other things and have no idea that this would be the root of it. So, and it's always the same. Thank you for sharing. No one talks about this. My primary care blew me off. My OBGYN blew me off. I don't feel rage, but that gets me pretty close, because I just think to myself, like, what the fuck? Like, how? How are you a doctor and just brushing something off like this? But enough people have said it where I know it's happening all the time. Mm-hmm. Just say, I don't know, instead of, you're fine. All of your blood
looks, or refer to a specialist.
Right. But they won't refer you to a hormone specialist, because hormone specialists are not covered under insurance. So they won't. And I will say, like, I don't know that most do even know that women hormone specialists exist, because they probably don't. So it's like, we all have to just keep talking about it, keep asking questions, keep talking to one another, and, like, not being shy about it. Like, this is stuff, like, I'm not shy about any of it, because, like, why? Why would I be? There's nothing to, like, be ashamed of or shy about. It's our bodies, and they're very complicated, as you know, owning a gym and dealing with humans all day long. Like, humans' bodies and how they work are so complicated and so complex.
And individual, which is why, like, as much as all your message is, because it's not, and you've said it before, like, your message is not, do what I'm doing.
Right.
But your message is, if you're feeling off, go get checked out, because that was my case and I'm finding answers.
Right.
Exactly. And it's been helping. So
exactly.
Go, and with the disclaimer, or with the caveat that, like, you're in a privileged position to be able to pay for this. And so not everybody is. And that's something that maybe down the road you go solve, because you're solving world's problems. But
With your help, Chris?
Yeah.
Good.
Like, cool. And that's why we're doing this podcast. Cause, like, it's like, if you're noticing something within you that is giving you a hint that maybe you should go see something, and then this is the thing that pushes you to go do that. Mm-hmm. Or you talk to a friend and they're talking about their symptoms, and then you share your story. All it does is encourage people to advocate for themselves.
Right.
And that's...
And connect puzzle pieces.
Yeah. And there are so many more people than not who kind of just live with it, and don't, and either don't think anything's wrong because it's so common, but common doesn't mean normal.
Right.
Or they don't know where to go.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that, like, sums it up, essentially.
And that's what the specialist does. The specialist says, all right, even though you might be in normal range, common range, for you, it's not normal.
Correct. Yeah, that's a really good way to articulate it, kind of in just a synopsis. Like, that really kind of hits the nail on the head.
Yeah.
You know, just because something is normalized.
Right.
By just no one talking about it.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's okay, or that you should live that way. Yeah,
right.
By any means. So I agree. Yeah, it's definitely not a do what I'm doing, because I'm really careful about that. When people ask me for guidance, I will send them the link to the Glucose Goddess. I don't say, like, do this.
Yeah.
Don't know what everybody's that they've got going on, but I'm happy to, like, point people in the right direction, the same way that people helped point me in the right directions to then do my own work myself and read. But I think it is really important. Like, we rely so much on the expertise of doctors and physicians and nurse practitioners, and that's great, and we should. But also, it's your body. Mm-hmm. And I think it's incredibly important to say, like, okay, let me look up who is and would be considered the expert in this very particular thing, and let me read. Let me listen to a podcast or listen to it on Audible. Let me dive into their Instagram page and just, like, get some info. Because I think that's how we all learn together. Because, again, one individual's needs will be different their symptoms will be different. I'm sure there's a lot of people with Hashimoto's that didn't have these horrible skin rashes. It's not a symptom of every single person, but because of everything else going on in my body, that became a like screaming symptom, but it's not true of everybody. I've talked to a couple of people who have Hashimoto's and they've never had skin rashes like I did. So it's another reminder that like your body's stuff is your body's stuff. And that, yes, there are experts, and thank God that we have the, you know, resources to find them. But it's also like you gotta do a deep dive sometimes and like be willing to do the hard work, be willing to like cut out the pasta and the carbs or the dairy and just see what happens and like jump off that ledge of discomfort, yeah. And see,
yeah.
You know, so.
Are there other resources that you would point people to, books or podcasts or Instagram people?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of, like, I know you ingest a lot of the Huberman Lab podcasts also. He's got great guests on his podcast. Like, there's quite a few, like, experts at their own thing, but then also have experts in other fields. So right. I would say there's probably more, like, specific. If somebody asked me about something specifically, like I would do my best to help find like resources that I have found helpful for maybe those specificities. But I think, you know, for Hashimoto's, this Isabella Wentz has two incredible books about Hashimoto's and how to help your body put itself into remission. You're never cured from what I understand, but you can be in remission of these like very big symptoms, which I can attest to. And then with blood sugar and insulin resistance, there is so much information now, so much that people can learn. I think sometimes it's frustrating because I'm like, there's some like little tweaks people could make that would make such a difference in how they feel. But some will, some won't. Mm-hmm. So what?
Right.
Kind of thing. I can't, you know, worry about that. But there's definitely so many resources. I mean, the internet's a wild place, as we all know, but it's wildly, wildly helpful if you find the right places. Like, there's so much information available.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to share? And again, the idea is like, hey, someone's like, I want to learn your story more, and you're not necessarily going to have an hour and have to sit down. Mm-hmm. Like,
what I would say is your primary care can write scripts for more specific blood work. They just don't know what to write it for. I have shared like the specific blood tests that I had done. And then truly you can use Google to kind of unravel what each one of them means so that you can start to get a general idea like, oh shit, that one is really high. Those are all blood sugar related tests. Like, I need to like do some work there. It is possible to kind of like navigate it without seeing a specialist. I'm always happy to like just share like the blood tests that were run for me because your doctor can write the script for them. They can get insurance to cover it. They just generally don't know what exactly you're needing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to go in like, I need you to write a script for these scripts. Like, I need this blood work done.
Right.
And can you help me get that done? And quite frankly, like, I doubt any of them would care. You know, like, what do they care what blood work you're having done? You're just asking for specifics. So I'm always happy to share, like, the, you know, from my LabCorp results, like, the exact ones, and it's hefty, but, like, your doctor can get that done for you. You just will need to do a lot more work on the back end to kind of untangle what it is. Yeah.
Right. And that is a benefit of a specialist, where they can, they do this all the time and can put the puzzle pieces together much quicker.
Right. And so, I mean, even if it's like you go with all of that blood work already done, or a lot of it, it just gives them more to look at and kind of cuts out like an extra appointment. So sometimes people can like look at it that way, like, okay, like I can afford to go this one time. I'll have a lot of blood work to give them already. And that you're like one step ahead. I'm sure they'd love that. Like, I'm sure Dr. Lambert would love if people came in with this whole panel of blood work because she'd be able to like get to work faster and be like, okay, see what's going on here and da, 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 rather than having to wait then for whenever you can get that blood work done and then get the results, like, you know. So there are some ways to beat the system, work with the system, whatever. But yeah, so that is my journey. We just need to keep talking about it. Men and women, everybody, not just women, but it's been crazy. For sure.
Well, thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. So I wanted to add that what I am finding right now is, especially when we talk about social media and Instagram in particular, there is a huge audience and a huge realm of 20-something year olds building big butts and doing all the things and looking so great, and they're in their own fitness category and they're doing great. And then there's this new wave of women in their, I would say, 50s plus, making waves because they are in great shape and they're doing all the things that we've mentioned in, like, in this episode together. They're doing it all these years later, but when the shit really gets jacked up is in between those two parts of our lives. It's in your 30s. You know, in our 30s, we're in our, now I would say, child-rearing years, which has shifted over the decades, but in our 30s is when this stuff happens. So it's now that you have to be monitoring it. It's now that you have to be aware of all these terms. It's now that you have to start to understand the insides of our bodies so that you're doing the work now so that you're not in your 40s, 50s, getting into menopause and having to do twice, three times the amount of work to be okay. So I guess that's what I just wanted to share that like, it's now, it's in your 30s, your mid, early, end, whatever, especially if you've had children. This is now when you do the work. This is now when you get in touch. This is now when you go see a specialist. Even if you're okay, so you think, get a baseline. Like, know in your 30s, how is my body functioning? So that's it.